You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Well, at least Gordo's dancing. Let's go. All right, this is Rob Bradford. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. We're live from the Fort Fenway Clubhouse Studios here at Fenway Park. Everybody's lining up here at Lansdowne Street. There's a buzz in the air. There's a buzz in the air about the Yankees, Red Sox, must win Saturday, fork in the road Saturday, rubber meets the road Saturday, whatever you want to call it. But we have, I don't want part of this.
Oh.
Gordo, Sammy, I think Pat. They said must win two games.
Must win two games.
I did not say that.
Okay. You said close to. Your friend's riding. You know you want to say it.
I said that.
You said it. All right. Must win two games. 2.5 people saying must win two games. Do you agree? It's a question that's out there. 617-779-7937. Also, the question that's out there is that why would Sammy ever sleep on the floor in a million-dollar house? I don't know. Who knows? That we'll answer that question a little bit later. Anyway, all right, let's go back to the phone lines. Billy in the car. Hey, Billy, what's going on, my friend?
Brad Foe, your boy Billy from the elevator back in the day.
Billy!
Yes, sir. I hope you're well. You sound great, wonderful. I wanted to say, Rick, my man, you got to, stop being so hostile towards Bregman. The Sox need him. You need a centerpiece. He's going to be a vocal leader. Work with the younger kids. This team is so young that you need an Alex Bregman on your team to help guide them. Once we got rid of Rafi, who clearly wasn't guiding anybody, he was all for himself, we helped ourselves out, right? And this season is ups and downs. It's a roller coaster. Yeah, has Bregman been in the slump? Yeah. Absolutely has. But listen, he's going to wake up. That guy steps up when it matters.
Billy, you are right on. And we're going to talk about Bregman. Billy, I hope everything's well, and I appreciate you calling in. And we're going to, I totally agree with what you're saying. And so a couple things, fellas. Number one, it is insane that the San Francisco Giants are going to make the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs. What are they? They're half game out?
I think half game out.
And the Mets are collapsing. You know, they did the whole thing, and we're going to call up a bunch of rookie pitchers, and they're going to be the solution. Well, Jonah Tong had the same treatment Peyton Tolley did. Great first time, then reality second time. All right, so it's crazy that the Giants and Rafael Devers are going to make the playoffs. So that's number one. Billy's absolutely right when it comes to the dynamic between Bregman and Devers. Before I ask you for your takes on Bregman, let me give you mine. All right? So I will start this. I was in Anaheim. I talked to his agent, Scott Boris. My takeaway from that was he is positioning himself. Obviously, Boris probably wants Bregman to opt out. Right? Correct? We all agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. So he's positioning himself for that to happen by saying, well, kept mentioning the qualifying offer, no qualifying offer this time around. Different story with no qualifying offer. You want proof? Well, I'll give you Correa. I'll give you Matt Chapman. I'll give you Snell. Those are the examples that he gave, insinuating it's going to be a whole different ballgame. Also saying the Red Sox have, I'm paraphrasing, but gotten these really, really cheap deals. So they've saved all kinds of money. So they have all this money to spend, and this is the guy to spend the money on. All right, so those are the things from Boris, that conversation. You can go check it out in the Baseballs and Boring feed. Now, I'll say this. Between Rick and Salem, correct? Rick and Salem?
You got it.
And Billy from the elevator, that – I will say this. I agree with Billy. I don't, with all due respect to Rick, the thing that I think that we should look at Bregman, as much as he struggled or hasn't been what he was in the first half and the second half, if you look at Bregman from the outside, another team, he is much more valuable, I feel, to – don't yawn. Come on, don't yawn. What are you doing, yawning? Come on.
Who are you talking to?
It's the second hour. Let's go. I'm giving my Bregman tag. You're supposed to be excited.
It's must win two games,
right? Well, okay.
It's a dry heat.
All right.
It's a dry heat.
So with Bregman, tell me if I'm wrong. Bregman in free agency viewed much more important to the Red Sox from the Red Sox point of view than maybe from the outside. Because all the things that we see, the perfect fit, the perfect piece of this puzzle, not only for this year, but for years to come, is Alex Bregman. Even if he is these numbers. Now, if you're another team, you don't know if he's going to be the perfect fit, but you say, well, he has these numbers. He's been hurt the last 2 years. Is he worth signing a long-term deal? And Boris will do his best to sell. But I got to imagine that he is more important, or he has a better market, better chance of getting this extension or this contract that he wants from the Boston Red Sox than he does another team. Who wants to counter that, Sammy?
No, I totally agree with you. And I don't understand. For years, we've all justifiably been complaining about this ownership is cheap, this ownership is this, this, and that. And now we have this guy, Alex Bregman, who seems like the perfect fit. Everything you just described, I'll add on top of that, a great defender, which is huge. We just saw Devers for 8 years, not a great defender. And now the complaint is we don't want to spend a chunk of money on him. That's nuts to me. You're nothing without this guy. He's the leader. He's the light in the storm. There's another metaphor for you. I know you love those. Mm. And if you don't sign him, I think it's a big...
Is he Moses or the lighthouse?
He's Moses in the lighthouse.
Okay.
But it's a big, big step back on and off the field if you don't extend this guy. Or re-sign him, excuse me.
No, I mean, I agree. There's a difference between a really good player and a face of the franchise leader. That was basically the biggest discrepancy between Devers and Bregman. Bregman is going out of his way to help guys like Narvaez at 2 in the morning. He's telling Giolito he's tipping his pitches. He's helping the pitching staff. He's helping Roman, Marcelo, Campbell, all these young guys adapt, change, do everything he needs. That is a guy that you cannot let set this culture and then after 1 year leave. And Sam Kennedy said the other day, basically, like, we want him here for a long time. He wants to be here for a long time. Sam said a lot of stuff. Do I think that's etch it in stone, done deal, Bregman's here for the rest of his career? No, of course not. That being said, though, I don't think the Red Sox are so stupid to let an Alex Bregman go based on price alone. He is so much more than just an everyday player, third baseman, good, bad. What he means to that clubhouse, the culture here, and then basically getting them back to the postseason, knock on wood, this year, you cannot let that go.
And that matters, too. People will roll their eyes about clubhouse culture and what you do off the field. Everyone who follows this team, who's around this team, they will all agree that is important. You can't just laugh it off, describe it as cheerleading. I don't subscribe to that at all. I think it's incredibly important.
But, Gordo, before you go, you know, one thing is that you say, well, they want him here for a long time, but they're playing a little game of chicken. They have been all year by not engaging in terms of contract talks because they say, well, is he really going to opt out? I know that everyone's saying he's going to opt out. I personally, I don't know if he's going to opt out. I don't think he's going to opt out. I honestly think that. And I think the Red Sox think that right now. But it is a game of chicken. Because if you do let him get into the market, Boris does have a decent case here with no qualifying offer. You know, who knows? You need one team that's desperate. Maybe it's the Cubs. Or one team. Well, how about the Dodgers? How about the Dodgers?
Tigers.
Tigers once again. I mean, they thought they had him the first time. So they are playing a little game of chicken because, Pat, I do think that you're onto something where this team, it's hard to imagine what this team looks like going forward. Like, you can take out – Trevor Story can opt out, and he's having a good year, deserved to, whatever it is. But their backup plan is Marcelo Meyer. Okay, fine. That's great. Bregman's different. Bregman, you don't have a backup plan.
It could also be Marcelo.
But no, you don't have a backup plan. Like, I'm not, and this isn't a knock on Trevor Story, but all the things that we're talking about with Alex Bregman about the impact that he has across the board is next level. And so you don't have the face of the franchise. I'll give you an example where last night, dud of a game, right? So usually the media says, okay, you know, who do you want to talk to? Who are you going to talk to? Okay, Nate Eaton, probably not, right? Okay, or you talk to the starting pitcher, you talk to Core. Who are you going to talk to? And there's been games like this. But the guy that is being requested to talk to is Alex Bregman. And you know what? He talks every time. He did it in Arizona. He's done it after these losses. And they honestly haven't had that guy for a couple of years. And I know that's a little thing, but that's the thing that Bogaerts used to be. Where, yeah, you know, I might not necessarily had an impact in this game, but if you want the messenger of this team, the face of this team to talk, then this is going to be the guy to do it. That is undeniable. And I'll say it again. They haven't had that in recent years. And if he leaves, they will not have it again.
Every good team has one of those guys, especially in Boston.
Yeah.
Can't go on without one.
No, absolutely.
Lighthouse Moses.
And it's one of those things, too, that you can't just – it's not an easy pivot. You can't go, oh, if he leaves, go get Kyle Tucker. If he leaves, go get Pete Alonso. It's – this is a guy who's built a rapport with everybody in the clubhouse, set the standard, the relationship with Cora. Like, he checks quite literally every box you want a player to check before giving him a ton of money.
You need – listen, you need Kyle Tuckers. You need the Pete Alonso. You need some impact bats. But you also, along with them, this isn't an either or. It's both.
They're not going to replace the intangibles that Bregman offers here.
Yeah.
And the Red Sox need that. Like, to go back to your original question about, like, do the Red Sox need him more than anyone else? They absolutely need him more than anyone else because of the void that's left. Like, this culture change that has happened this year doesn't – that's not just going to be set in stone forever because Bregman was here for 1 year. Like, that's something that needs to be worked on and continued year after year after year. And you've got a guy who wants to be here, who fits – perfectly in your ballpark, who has had a really good season on both sides of the ball and off the field. It just, and maybe he opts out, maybe he doesn't, but even if he does opt out, I just have such little fear that he's going to be anywhere else but here.
Mm-hmm. And to kind of tack onto that, like, even go back to 22 to 24, like, you had veterans basically like berating Casas for going out in the sun and laying pregame. The teammates feel like they were like literally just teammates. There was no bonds there, whatever. The second Bregman gets here, all the veterans, the second Atoli comes up, the second an Early comes up, they're all over those young guys. Like, they're all on the same page, all want the same thing. And you cannot say the past 3 years that has been the case.
And
you can't.
And another byproduct of the Devers trade, you know, and a lot is going to be continue to be made of the Devers trade because you really need Devers bat right now, right? So people are like, well, would you really be better off or not better off with or without Devers, whatever it is. But another byproduct of that, along with allowing Roman Anthony to play, that's undeniable. Like, you freed up a spot for Roman Anthony, said go get him, which, you know, you were still juggling, bobbing and weaving way through the lineup construction. Another thing is that there was no doubt that Bregman was that voice. And even though Devers never talked, it's like the problem was that one of the biggest issues in that clubhouse, or at least perceived issues, was that the Devers situation. And that was the one thing that Bregman couldn't deal with because he was the guy in the middle of it. And that wasn't his fault. That was just the reality of it. But once Devers moved on, there was not only did the lineup become more clear, but the chain of command became much more clear.
And then you've also, I mean, just to talk about chances of him being here versus not, you saw the Red Sox make a huge, huge franchise-altering decision, trading away Rafael Devers with a decade on his deal for the sake of the clubhouse culture primarily. They're not about to let Alex Bregman, who is the catalyst of all of the good change that has happened, they're not about to let him get away because you've seen, they've tipped their hand. You see what they prioritized. You see that they value those things. So I can't imagine it. It's people keep freaking out because, oh, these reports that he's going to opt out.
He was
I don't care if he opt outs. They're going to make sure he's back. Yeah. I feel so confident about it.
Yes or no, opting out. Sammy?
Yeah, 100% he's opting
out. All right, Gordo?
I think he's going to opt out.
All right, Pat?
Yeah.
Okay, no.
But and I don't have fear.
People confuse that with leaving, though. Like,
yes.
You're not in the weeds like we are. They think opt out. Oh, he doesn't want to be here. Oh, he just wants money. It just doesn't make sense to stay on the contract.
I said no.
You said no.
You don't think he's going to opt out?
No.
No, he'll opt out.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. And this is totally hypothetical here, but let's say he opts out and some team offers him $175 million. The Red Sox offer him $145 million.
I think he takes the Red Sox.
I do, too.
He genuinely likes being here.
No. I mean, the whole thing. Let's not get this twisted, man. Like it's fine that his wife goes to school here. It's fine that he loves it here. It's fine all of that. But this is his one opportunity. This is his opportunity to get his last deal. This is what he views it as.
This is his opportunity to win.
To get his last deal.
To win a World Series.
Right. And you know what? Detroit can win a World Series. The Dodgers can win a World Series. The Cubs can win a World Series. There's plenty of places that will pay him to win who can still win a World Series, maybe even more than the Red Sox.
But he won't hit in those ballparks like he can at
Fenway Park. Are you kidding?
It's a real thing.
Okay.
It's a real thing.
All right. Well, the problem is that he's not hitting like everyone expects him to hit now. And this is going to be when I say that I have the inclination that he's not going to opt out. It's in large part because of what his numbers have been in the second half, like where these numbers are going to land. And maybe he'll catch on a heater. And here's another thing, guys. I might be completely wrong because I know how the postseason works. I've said this is one of my go-tos. The postseason, this is where you make your money. You know what?
Look at Walker Buehler.
Easy.
Hey, pitched a good game yesterday.
Well, no, I mean, well, and I want to talk about that when we come back.
No, please,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, I demand it. But think about that. We have 2 weeks left in the regular season. How much money can Alex Bregman make in these 2 weeks compared to 2 weeks in October? Here's the answer. A fraction of what the 2 weeks in October is. It is crazy. It is bizarre. It is baseball. And this is Trend.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. We're here at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. And a reminder, the Red Sox on WEI is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the New England Edition F-150, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. And guys, you know what? I went to a rental car. As you know, we were in Arizona. We'll get to that later. We were in Arizona, and then you guys went home, and I went to L.A., and I went to the rental car place, and as you guys saw, you get to pick anything when you're my level of status at Hertz. I'm a pretty big deal.
Oh.
Yeah, you just pick a car. So all the cars are relatively the same, but there's this one honking big truck, pickup truck. Right? There is like this just enormous pickup truck. And I'm like, I got to take that truck. I got to take it. Now, people are like, why would you ever drive that truck in L.A.? That's the worst idea of all time. I don't care. That's how great Ford trucks are. When I see a Ford truck at the rental car place, I am taking it and I am driving it around Southern California. Facts.
Science. Did they get mad at you when you returned the Arizona car because I sweat through my shirt every single day? Probably destroyed the interior.
Yeah, no. I don't know what's going on.
How are you sweating with such a dry
heat? Oh, it's a dry heat. I forgot. I never want to hear that again in my life.
I've never seen someone so sensitive to heat than you.
I'm usually not. I don't know what was up. I think it was I was overcompensating for my leg.
As a tease to our conversation about the road trip to Arizona, we're staying in this big house. It just happens to be the house of the co-author, right? And so we get this big house. You got all this place to sleep and to stay and everything. Oh, yes. There was an air conditioning issue in the back room, but it got better progressively.
A little bit.
But still, not only Sammy sleeps on the floor, just so he can be underneath an air conditioning vent.
So,
Ben.
Bradfo, in the winter, the dead of winter in New England, I sleep with the window open with a sheet. I don't even have the big blanket most of the time.
Yeah, but you're That's on a crazy. Bed.
Yeah, but I'm still.
You're on a floor.
I like being freezing cold. And that bedroom was 87 degrees.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Wait, Sammy, in the winter, you will, in 20 degree weather, you will open the window and sleep with only a sheet?
Yeah, I'll crack it. And then in the middle of the night, I'll wake up really cold, put on the big blanket, then wake up in the morning, remove it again.
He just runs hot, that's all.
This guy likes when daylight savings makes it get dark.
Again, you're bearing the lead. You slept on the floor.
I slept on the floor because right below where I was sleeping was the vent, and I was getting a little
Why didn't you just sleep outside?
I would have, but there were javelinas.
Javelinas.
I would have been pig food.
All right.
Had this discussion.
All right. Yeah, it's fair. I mean, as someone who may have been attacked by javelinas, I'm sensitive to that.
Or you.
All right. Well, Alex Cora has talked to the media. A couple things to come out of that. Number one, Liam Hendricks out for the year officially, has some forearm tightness, said he's not going to be part of the mix. That is absolutely no surprise at all. So we obviously have seen the last of Liam Hendricks. The Liam Hendricks experiment for the Boston Red Sox did not work out. What do you got, Gordon?
I have a Willier update from him if you want it.
Okay, Willier Abreu update. And by the way, Willier talked to the media yesterday, in English. Good for him.
Yeah, let's go, Willie.
Yeah.
He's going to come on the show, he said.
Okay, there you go.
All right, this is Cora on Willie Abreu. He said, we're shooting at 1 point next week. I'm not sure if it's Athletics or Tampa, but he's feeling a lot better. Yesterday, he ran at 86%. Like I said, getting to 90% is good enough for us. And then he was asked what 86% means, and he said, no idea, but it's 86. That's with the catapult, so they're able to measure with that.
Okay.
So they actually can measure the percentage.
This feels, you know, when I think about this, all I can think of is the John Henry, Pablo Sandoval 17% body fat. That's all I can think of. Like this random number, which it sounds good. Okay. I mean, I know he's right. I mean, there's the catapult is those girdles or those like bras that they wear, right?
Oh, yeah. That's what that is.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a weight.
No. It measures everything.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So is it like based on heart rate?
So when I'm yelling at people on this, I'm actually wearing a catapult right now. Like, I know that I have to lower my heart rate. Okay. So we mentioned Hendricks, we mentioned Abreu, but the line or the quote that everyone's going to be talking about today from Alex Cora is?
You want it, Rob?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. I'm pulling it up.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Alex Cora to the media today. Quote, I think we should stop talking October, to be honest with you. There's a lot of stuff going on, and we have to play better. I'm not saying we're in a bad spot, but I think we have to wait, you know, to see if October is a part of this.
Okay. Pause. Take a breath. I'm going to go around the room. Ask the – we do this with interviews. We takeaways. That was just a quote. But I know that this hits right where it hurts for you guys, or maybe not. This is a straight ball right down the middle for you guys to react to. Who wants to go first? Gordo, what's your reaction to that quote?
A little panic, just a little bit.
Like, well, okay. Usually- can I pause you right there? Here's the thing: is that the things that we started with the show with the standings. In the reality of this team, whether it's the standings, the science, the math, or just the lineup that Alex Cora is trying to bob and weave his way through every single day, that's why he's saying that. This isn't just, oh, well, you know, we got to be careful. He understands what he's dealing with. He understands what he is dealing with. I interrupted you. I apologize. Go ahead.
Yes, and you're right. And he's right. You're right. I get it. But with Alex Cora, like you saw it in Arizona, they lost three games after Roman Anthony went down and was asked about it. And he said, listen, it's three games. Let's not make more of it than it needs to be. Like Alex Cora is the king of when there's maybe panic setting in, downplay it. No, it's not a big deal. We're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. Always says we're going to be fine. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. We're going to be okay. This doesn't really give that. It's like the opposite of that. It's the opposite.
Well, he was easing into this by saying, I think yesterday about, you know, we're not going to worry about innings limits or whatever it is. We're going all in. And he's been saying this for a couple of weeks where this is, you know, we're going all in. This is where we have to push, put the pedal to the metal and all of that stuff. But this is a little different because if you go back, there definitely has been some quotes from Cora in that setting that have insinuated or talked about the postseason. And then he has to sort of catch himself when saying is like, you don't know if we get there. But certainly the fact that before we brought it up, there was little legitimate conversations about the postseason from Alex Cora. Now he's saying, I don't want to talk about the postseason.
Pump the brakes.
Anyway, who's next?
For me, it doesn't really change much at all. I think that's just Alex Cora being honest. A lot of talk around town, fans and media have been speaking as if the playoffs are a guarantee, and I am too old to forget
you are.
Lapses that I've seen.
Super old.
I'm so old.
So old.
So yeah, no. I kind of like it. It's a dose of reality for everyone. The playoffs are not guaranteed. We spoke about it at the top of the show. It's winning time. They got to win today, and then you can focus on tomorrow, and then you focus on the next day. I'm not a big picture guy this time of year. I'm one at a time, and it feels like Alex Cora kind of has a similar mindset.
Pat.
Probably a little bit closer to Sammy. I'm not really freaked out by it. It's probably a little bit more candid about the reality than Cora usually is, but it's one of those things that he's not oblivious. He knows how hot Texas is. He knows that they're kind of limping to the finish line right now. It's make or break time. It's light.
Ooh, it's make or break time.
Make or break time. Light
right.
a fire under the team's
butt. That's even better than rubber meets the road time.
No.
Do or die.
But here's the thing, fellas, is that the other part about this is, as I said, Cora knows the lineup he's dealing with, and also he knows the uncertainty that he's dealing with. Like, this is the reality of this. Today he is Bayo, tomorrow he is Crochet. Good for you. But he also knows the importance of, like, if you don't win Bayo and Crochet, you do not know what's around the corner. You have no idea what's around the corner. And that's their lot in life. That's where they're standing. And that wasn't this the plan. We've already gone through this a million times about how plan A went out the window multiple times with this embarrassment of starting pitching depth. Hunter Dobbins, Richard Fitz, Cooper Criswell, Quinn Priester. Who should not be said, Quinn Priester.
How dare you?
Oh, my goodness.
One of the best ground ball pitchers
okay,
in Major League Baseball.
Let me give you this hot take, okay? Speaking of, since I mentioned that, who should not be said, the other one other than Rafael Devers, Quinn Priester. I say this, and this is going to introduce Merrill Kelly, okay? My favorite topic. If the Red Sox have Quinn Priester or Merrill Kelly, how different is this conversation? Right?
So, David, this was our topic on Playtestia, our last episode. And I can show you the tweet I posted before Connelly Early start. This is a lot of pressure for the front office because this is the guy that they wouldn't move for,
yes.
Merrill Kelly. Then he pitches a good game, and I get all these tweets like, oh, who's smart now? The front office. Yo, slow your roll. Merrill Kelly's been awesome since the deadline. He's a veteran.
Put it this way. Okay, let's go back to that. Because that's also been a bone of contention with me.
Bone of contention.
Yeah, bone of contention. That's a good one. Would you, another around the room, yes or no, would you, and I know the answer, Gordon, I don't even know what you're going to say.
He's going to ask the question that we asked on
all right,
the last show.
Would you trade Conley Early for Merrill Kelly?
Right now.
Right now.
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
Can I say something?
No. Go. Just say yes. I'll let you come back. Come back to you.
Okay, yes, and I'll save my comment.
Okay, save your comment. Gordo?
No.
I knew that was coming. Yes.
Okay. You knew it was coming because I said it to you three days ago.
All right, so the organization, they'll say, well, look at this guy. He's the future. He's part of the rotation. And maybe he is. Maybe he is. Cole Reagans was that too, by the way, for the Royals. But you know what? This is what thing that drives me absolutely bonkers is that the goal – is to win the World Series, or at least to get to the World Series, to have a chance to win the World Series. That is the goal. In this case, you already defined what you needed more than anything else. You said it, front office. You said it yourself. This is what we need. We need a starting pitcher who can pitch in the postseason. You said that. You didn't get that person. And you certainly weren't counting on Conley Early to be that person. And even if he is, you don't know what Conley Early is going to be. The goal is to win the World Series. So if that's the case, as painful as that might be, much like it was painful for the Texas Rangers to trade Cole Reagan for Aroldis Chapman back when they won the World Series, they won the World Series. And I think that that's where this gets lost. And people are saying, well, no, this is they got to set themselves up for the future and this and that. Here's the thing. The American League is never going to be this bad. Never. Or this inadequate. So, of course, you do it. Go ahead.
I'm jumping out of my skin here. You say you got to set yourself up for the future. That's why you don't trade for Merrill Kelly. I've heard a lot of people say that. You have five.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
You didn't say that. Yeah. You have five pitching prospects ranked ahead of Connelly Early. I like Connelly Early. I think he's a good, you know, high floor kind of pitching prospect. I think he has a bright future. But you got five guys ranked ahead of him. That's the time where you throw aside, that's not good value. Neither was Cole Reagans for Aroldis Chapman. I guarantee you Texas is still thrilled they made that.
And before you guys go, the other thing about this is that this isn't just, oh, well, you know, a flyer and a pitcher. Number one, Merrill Kelly has been really good for Texas. Don't yawn. Every time someone yawns, I'm going to call you out. So the
Sammy's
not only
next,
Sammy, he knows better.
He's a little bit older than us, so he doesn't need as much sleep.
Duncan's.
What's that mean?
Don't you yawn more
when you get older?
Yes.
Okay.
Radfo, you want to hear how he's done?
No, I know how he's done. He's got like a 2-something ERA, right?
3.1 over 8 starts in 48 innings. For the Rangers.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But my point is that, okay, even if he had a 4, you would say, like, this is a guy who has pitched in the postseason. You know, you feel confident that he can pitch in the postseason. The two guys that I said that they missed the boat on were him and Shane Bieber. Him and Shane Bieber. Now, Bieber was a little bit more of a wild card because he was hurt, but he's been pretty good for Toronto. So those guys, they did what you said was the most important thing, which is a pitcher to pitch in the postseason. And maybe like this isn't the be-all, end-all because we're talking about hitting and their dysfunction when it comes to the offense. What, and you only need three stars maybe in the postseason. I don't know. All I know is this, is that if you got Merrill Kelly, he is, to me, a pitching in the postseason one way or the other, and he is pitching well in the postseason. And maybe Conley early and again, maybe they get bumped, but I'll come back to what they proclaimed at the trade deadline, which was the priority, how they viewed it, and that was getting a pitcher who can pitch in the postseason, whether that's bumping someone to the bullpen, whatever it is, because, guys, the reality now is what we just talked about.
Mm-hmm. And think about
it. You don't know what's around. Alex Cora, and this comes back to the Alex Cora quote, Alex Cora does not know what is around the corner when it comes to playing the Oakland A's, who, by the way, if you go look it up, I think in this month have the third best OPS of any team in baseball. Mm-hmm. Who wants to talk?
I just can't get by the concept of not wanting to move your sixth best pitching prospect.
No, but you had 11 strikeouts.
Great. Fantastic. but for you're moving your sixth best pitching prospect for a guy who could help you win the World Series. Like, what have we become? We're talking about value. That's not good value. I know it's not good value. That's what you do at the deadline. You bite the bullet to maybe win the World Series. That's why you play the game.
I have a question about maybe how they're missing the boat. Like, obviously, they showed interest in Merrill Kelly, but he's not a guy who throws hard. He's a guy that goes zoo, you know, boom, boom, corners.
Zoo, boom.
That was zoo, boom, boom on the corners.
Science.
And so, but he's that guy. He's not your typical, like, I'm going to come in and I'm going to blow everyone away. He's not, by the way, he's not Dustin May, which is Dustin May, they probably viewed, and it's not like they didn't give up nothing for Dustin May.
Yeah, they gave up a good amount.
Yeah.
They gave up a lot for
Dustin. And so Dustin May, oh, look at his stuff. Look at what we can do with him. He's going to be the answer. All right. Merrill Kelly isn't that guy. He's not the stuff guy, but he's the guy who, you know what's a great analytic along with winning in the World Series? It's outs.
Yeah.
Results.
He gets outs.
Sometimes you have to like strip it down and make it simple like that. And it feels like the Red Sox want to be the smartest guy in the room all the time. And this is an example of that.
All right. Okay. 617-779-7937. We're at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. I'm Rob Bradford along with the Play Tessie guys, Sammy, Pat, Gordo. We got it all going on. And also, I want to talk to you about a former Red Sox draft pick who is being honored today. Who could it be? Who knows? All right. Be back after this.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
You know it's not a good song when Gordo's dancing. Oh my goodness.
You know what I can't do? I can't snap my fingers.
Oh, you can't at all?
Maybe
really?
Slightly. Ready?
You know what snapping your fingers means? By the way, in case people missed it, this is Rob Bradford, Baseball's and Boring Show, Play Tessie Guys, Gordo, Sammy, and Pat. We are at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios, and we early in this show, one of the many, many things that we continue to uncover about Gordo is that he had no idea about the miracle speech, about the miracle movie, what it was all about. He knew it was hockey. He knew it was USA, but he knew nothing else. So as penance for that, much like we made him sing the Paul Bunyan song because, you know, he didn't know who Paul Bunyan was when we're referencing a great comp for Peyton Tolle.
Can I say something? This is two different levels. I had no idea who that was. I had some semblance of an idea about Miracle. Some semblance.
No, you said hockey USA.
That's 75%.
No, it's not even 75%.
What else should I have said? That's like what calling, else do I need to know?
It would be like calling the movie 42 a baseball movie. And then you said elaborate. And you said a Dodgers movie.
Yeah, good analogy. So, perfect job. Wait, that's why you're a doctor.
Explain the rest to me. Just give me quick spark notes.
Who wants to do it?
They beat Russia.
They beat the Soviets.
And then that was it.
Tell by the speech.
Yeah, they beat the Soviets in 1980.
Yeah, let me do it. I lived through it.
You guys weren't even. Negative 19. Go for it.
Yeah, 1980. There, the Cold War is at its peak. You have Russia, USA. Russia is this powerhouse. Nobody can beat them. They actually go do an exhibition against Team USA right before the Olympics start and beat them like 18-0 or something like that. There's no chance this bunch of gritty college kids, because there were no pros at the time, could ever compete with Soviet Union. But sure enough, they play in the game, and it wasn't the gold medal game. It was a semifinal game. They play in this game. They would have lost 100 out of 100 times, or 99 out of 100 times. But that one time, they actually, the gritty, gutty, spirit of Team USA, under Herb Brooks, who is the coach, who gives the speech leading into the game, who is documented, who is represented in the movie Miracle. That is what we're talking about. They go out and beat the Soviet Union, the greatest upset maybe in sports history ever, and that's not hyperbole, ever, other than maybe the Red Sox beating the Yankees this afternoon, ever, right? So that's basically it.
Was it based off a true story?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, Gordon.
No, I made all that up.
No, you could have been describing
it. Was that good a story that you thought it was fake?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Oy vey.
All right. Anyway, so what we're going to do, because again, as everyone who listening can now understand, Gordo knows nothing about anything but baseball.
Yes, if it was based on a true story.
We much like him singing the Paul Bunyan song, we are going to have him get the Red Sox fired up by reciting, not now, but reciting.
Not now?
No, not now.
I'm standing already.
No, I know.
Just give me a heads up so I can take my catapult vest off. My heart rate is far too high.
Throw the cougar in the car, lower the heart rate. All right. Later in the show, you said that this is the must-win two games for the Red Sox.
Must-win two games.
The Red Sox have this show blaring in the clubhouse right now. So when do you read? You're going to read the Miracle speech and get them fired up with this iconic speech. Because nobody, as we found out with the Paul Bunyan song, reads words better than you. With more of a spirit, with more of an intention, with more of an effect than Gordo does. That's what you're going to do with a miracle speech later in the show. And that will propel, much like Donald J. Trump took credit for the Red Sox 15-game win streak back when he visited the Yankees the other day, and now he's probably taking credit for the Yankees win streak. You will take credit for the Red Sox win streak by reading the miracle speech later in the show. Yes?
You're firing me up, Rob. All I'm right. ready to go.
Let it be said. Let it be done. All right. I promise I want to pay off of my tees. A former Red Sox draft pick is being honored, or was honored already today, at Wrigley Field. I wonder who it is. Who is it? Wait, I'll give you a hint. He was taken the round after the Red Sox took Will Middlebrooks. Who is it?
Oh, it's Anthony Rizzo.
It's Anthony Rizzo.
Padres legend.
Italian. Okay. Anthony Rizzo's being honored today by the Cubs. Now, I will give a dollar and potentially a Baseball Isn't Boring sticker to any one of you who can nail the Red Sox Anthony Rizzo trade.
I can get part of it.
No,
as a third guy.
This is like the Miracle movie. I can get part of it. It's a movie about hockey. It's a movie about a country. It's a trade involving players.
I want the whole trade. Yeah. I mix it up with the Kimbrel deal. Who's
December 6, 2010? You not make that the Kimbrel deal was years
way later. Same teams.
Okay,
so Adrian Gonzalez came here.
Okay, Adrian Gonzalez. He was a centerpiece. It came back for the Red Sox.
Casey Kelly going to the Padres.
That's one.
And then Rizzo.
Rizzo.
That's two.
Is there only one other guy?
There's two others. There's actually a player, then the player to be named later.
I'm cooked.
All right. Ray Fuentes and Eric Patterson.
I could have gotten the Fuentes name I recall. Eric Patterson, that's not like.
So another lesson for all those teams that might be sheepish about making trades. Casey Kelly, Anthony Rizzo, Ray Fuentes, and Eric Patterson for Adrian Gonzalez. And everyone would say, well, you're talking about Anthony Rizzo, who went on to have a great trade. But you may forget that Anthony Rizzo went to San Diego in this trade and then went to the Cubs. And who was that deal for?
Andrew Cashner.
Oh, yes.
Andrew Cashner. Yep, Andrew Cashner. There were other players involved, but still, that's the spirit of the thing. And then Anthony Rizzo goes on to great things with the Cubs. When you guys think about, because I looked up, is Anthony Rizzo, is he have a case for the Hall of Fame? And the answer is no, 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 no. But he has a bid to be in the Hall of Very Good. What is your, do you have any Anthony Rizzo memories? I know that when you woke up this morning, you were not expecting this question. But I think that Anthony Rizzo is a really interesting guy. And you can go, by the way, to the Baseball Isn't Boring feed. I did a podcast that dropped this morning with Matt Spiegel, who's on our sister station in Chicago, talking about the impact that Anthony Rizzo had on that Cubs organization, because that was the sweet spot. The right guy at the right time in that team that everybody thought was going to be a dynasty. They did, the yeah. Cubs team.
100%.
Are we sharing Anthony Rizzo memories? I have a graphic one.
Sure.
Graphic.
So it was 2016. I was right across the street of where we are now at the House of Blues. I was at a rock concert, and it was the night the Cubs won the World Series. I was in the mosh pit, and I got knocked unconscious. Mm. I don't know how, but I came to, and then my friend drove me home, and I went home, and I vaguely remember seeing Anthony Rizzo catch the final out.
That may be the best Anthony Rizzo story.
I was completely concussed, had to go to the hospital the next day, but I remember it.
You remember Anthony Rizzo. That's how powerful he was. You guys, anything?
I can't top that.
No, that's a tough one to top.
Yeah. I have the image of Anthony Rizzo after he catches the final out running to the mound while also simultaneously putting the ball in his back pocket. Mm. Oh, yeah. Very smart.
I also, and this isn't really maybe great to bring up on the celebratory day of Anthony Rizzo, but when we were doing podcasts with the Dodgers guys this past offseason, Michael Kopech said they were counting how many times Anthony Rizzo went to the mound. It's like it was a game in the Dodgers bullpen because he kept going the mound over and over and over and over again.
The grand finale to his career.
And by the way, the Gerrit Cole not covering first, I actually give Anthony Rizzo credit for that, because that Mookie Betts hit had an insane amount of spin to it. And just for him to field it, like that was I love smooth fielding first baseman. Guys who know how to work the bag, you know, like the footwork, the every just, you know, you those guys that are in complete control. You know what I'm talking about.
Teixeira's
a good one.
Smooth fielding first basemen are like anxiety medication for the rest of the
inning. Oh, it totally is. Oh, the ball's a little bit over here. Let me just switch my footwork over to this side of the ball. Oh, I'm going to pick it every single time. You know, those sort of guys. Oh, my goodness. Moreland was like that.
Keith Hernandez.
Easy. All right. We have to get
Wait, I have one more memory.
Okay.
All of the callers who wanted the Red Sox to sign Anthony Rizzo when Tristan
Collins. Oh, well, I mean,
good times.
Honestly, the Anthony Rizzo's talk was prevalent all the way up until about a month ago. And next thing you know, now he's coming out of the dugout for an Anthony Rizzo day. All right. We're going to get back to the Red Sox. We were talking about, Gordo, you said that you had an alternative to something, to the Conley Early thing, right? Something along those lines, or what you would have done.
Oh.
All right. I mean, it's that time, right? I think it's that time, and people can weigh in, 617-779-7937. I think it's fair to say, all right, this is where you've landed. We played the quote earlier from Alex Cora at today's press conference and said, let's stop talking about the postseason. We got to deal with what's going on now, and he's absolutely right. So how could this have changed if they could have changed at all? Maybe it couldn't have changed because we're dealing with obliques and whatever it is, lats and whatever. But how could it have changed? What could they have done? I want answers from you guys. Tom, you there? Jason, anybody?
Always.
All right, I know. I just want to make sure because
it's always weird.
You guys are part of the family, part of the family, and also you got that background music
for a hat.
$20, family and friends discount. You got the background music for when Gordo does a miracle speech.
Of course, it's going to be a great moment.
All right.
I better get better music than last time.
All right.
Paul Bunyan, what did I get,
God
like an orchestra?
God bless America, because right. Peyton totally represents freedom with that mustache, Gordo. It made sense thematically.
Cook him.
Since when does God Bless America background? You can't tell what it is without the actual words. I didn't know that's what it was.
What, did your wife look at you in a different way after you sang the Paul Bunyan song?
No.
Okay.
Wait.
All right. Stop right there. 617-779-7937. We'll be back after this.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.